Lord, I thank you again for this time that we can meet together. I want to thank you for this offering collected this morning. I thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, your provision, and blessing us financially that we can also bless others. And I pray for these three families that we support, Chris and Jane, Miss Yu and April, Logan and Alicia, that you'd guide and direct them in their ministries and their work, and that continue to work through them, and bless them, and provide for them. Thank you for that, Lord. And just thank you for your goodness, for your many blessings. We thank you for the prayers that you've answered through the last week or weeks. And just bring our concerns to you, Lord. You know each one of them. Things that we're concerned about, burdens that we carry, we thank you that we can bring them to you, that we can trust you, that you are faithful. We pray that you will increase our faith, help us to trust you more and more in every situation. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot to mention that Wes and Wendy and Judith and I attended the MB assembly in Saskatoon yesterday. And we don't have an official reporter, I don't think, but during the sharing time, maybe we'll mention some highlights. But it was good. I am generally allergic to conferences and meetings for the most part, but it was good. It's good to attend those kinds of things once in a while, and you kind of get a sense of the bigger picture, that we're not just alone here as a church, but we're part of a bigger family, and that God is at work throughout the family. So it was encouraging. And now I will open up the floor. Mike, Mom, do you want to start with your scripture?
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to read from Matthew 26, 31 to the end of 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." So I just read that because I want to share a story from our holiday, and the ladies from the Bible study have heard this, but I think it bears repeating, so I just want to share with you. We were in San Francisco, and the last night we were there, we thought, oh, we haven't ridden on the old streetcars, so we want to do that. So we went out, it was about maybe 7 o'clock, and Ron had been looking at this path where the streetcars all went, so he said, we get on here and it goes around and comes back and we can be back by our hotel. We just had to walk a block away to get get on the streetcar. So away we went, and then it was starting to get dark, and you know, oh my goodness, it's like up and then down and up, and all the old buildings. It was really nice, and people, they stop and they get on, and then they hit the brakes, and this you could smell the wood smoke from these brakes, and it was quite interesting. So then we went on, and we got to this one spot, and they stopped, and they said, "Okay, everybody off. This is the end of the line." And we're looking at each other. Well, what? Like, how are we going to get back to our hotel? We thought this went around. And oh no, this is the end of the line. You wait 20 minutes, and another car will be coming along. And okay, so we're down at, I think it was like a Union Square or someplace. A few homeless people around there for sure. There's homeless people everywhere. And there was a Burger King there, so we went and had something to eat, because I thought, well, we haven't quite had our supper yet, but anyhow, we went and had something to eat, and then we were coming out and going down the sidewalk, and there was a homeless man there, and he was, oh, I don't know, fairly old, I would say late 60s or 70s, I don't know. And his spiel was, "Hey, can you help me out? I got no shoes." And you looked down, and he was walking around in his sock feet. Okay. And I tell you, I didn't give him anything. This has really bothered me ever since. I'd like to go back there and find that guy. Anyhow, because there's just homelessness everywhere, and I don't know, I just didn't do it. I didn't listen to God, and I'm really ashamed about that. But anyhow, we went past, and we went over on the other side of the street where we had to wait for the streetcars. And he kept hollering at everybody, "Hey, can you help me out? I got no shoes." And then there was a sign there of the train, of when the cars are coming. I thought, oh, maybe I'll read this and see if I can figure out if we're going to get home or not, or get back to the hotel. So I was over there looking at this thing, and then all of a sudden, Ron just kind of pokes me in the back. He says, "Hey, did you see that?" I said, "What? What happened?" And he said, there's this guy. He came along. He was maybe 35 years old, and he had a backpack on and everything. And he said that the homeless man said to him, "Hey, can you help me out? I got no shoes." And he said this young man stopped, took off his shoes, gave them to the man, and walked off in his sock feet. And so then I'm turning around and I'm seeing this homeless guy, and he's looking at these shoes, and then he goes over and he sits on a step where I think he had a few little bits and pieces of his stuff, and he sat down and he put these shoes on, and these shoes seemed to fit. I thought, oh God, you work in the most amazing ways. And then, so then he's sitting there and he's got these shoes tied up, and they were like nice kind of hiker boots, like with the ankle support and everything. And then somebody else comes along and he says, "Hey, can you help me out? I got no money." And I tell you, that just really spoke to me. And I thought, you know, God really is working. I'm just amazed at how God worked. And that young man went off without shoes, and this homeless man had shoes. So God really does provide in miraculous ways. So, and they fit. I just, they seem to fit. So it's amazing.
Take it. It's my time. So, I want to read the scripture that actually I have been thinking all this week. You know, you go through your devotions and you read different stories, different scriptures, but there is some that really sticks to you through the week. So this is one of it. So you can find this story in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 1 to 8. You can find it in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 36, and you can find this story in Mark chapter 9, verse 2 to 8. They all seem to mostly have 8s in them. So I chose Matthew. I was going to go with Luke because that's what I read in my devotion the beginning of the week. But I chose Matthew because he was always around Jesus. Mark came later, Luke came later. They're looking for information. So I thought I should go with Matthew in case you wonder why I chose Matthew. So Matthew 17, verse 1, it talks about the transfiguration. I'm still struggling with that. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just as then appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up the 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell down, face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. I just like how they're talking about it, like, because part of it, Luke says that they were kind of so tired, like they are so tired, they're just so sleepy. And they are kind of explaining. Matthew says, "His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light." Mark says, "His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them." Luke says, "Appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning." I was thinking about those things. You cannot explain the glory of God. And so I wrote down things that I picked from the story. What do I see in the story? Jesus inviting these 3 men to come with him to pray with him, but also to give them a little bit part of it, to show them his glory. Jesus being transformed or transfigured before them, and his presence changing right there in the front of them. Jesus being encouraged by Elijah and Moses, talking about his departure, which was almost coming, because they were there to encourage Moses, and Elijah were there to encourage Jesus, because they knew it was going to be hard for him. And so they appeared to encourage him and talking about his departure. I thought that was so cool. God speaking to Peter, John, and James just through the cloud. I can imagine a white cloud coming and covering us, and all of a sudden you hear the voice. Oh my goodness, that would be so terrifying. And we see them on the ground. And Jesus coming and saying, oh, come on, get up. Don't be afraid. That's so little thing, but because he has seen the glory of God before. So, but to them, it's a really big thing. It's so terrifying to see the presence of God and being covered in the cloud. And then all of a sudden, the cloud is gone, and you just see Jesus being alone. It's an amazing story. And also, he approved to the disciples, the three disciples, hey, in case you didn't know, this is my son whom I love. So just you listen to them. Because Peter, Luke said that Peter, he didn't know what he was saying. And Mark says he didn't know what he was saying apart from Matthew. But I think he was saying it from out of the excitement. And it's like, oh my goodness, okay, let's see this. And you know, like I put your shelter, I put Moses' shelter and Elijah's shelter. And we can just be here. Don't worry about the other disciples we've left behind. Let's just be here. It's so good to be the presence of God. Jesus is like, I won't answer this. Let God take care of this. This is my son whom I love. So listen to him. And actually it talks about, this is my son who is chosen. So Jesus, even God approving the disciples, those three guys, that Jesus was chosen. Being in the clouds for the first time, I tell you, I don't think it will ever leave my eyes. Jesus comforting them not to be afraid, asking them to get up, talking about what does it mean raising from the dead. Because as they're going back, that was their conversation on the way. And that really, really captured my mind, leave alone the glory of God and all that. We see Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave, and Mary coming and Martha coming and telling him, and say, yeah, I know he's going to resurrect on the last day. And Jesus turning to Martha and saying, I am the resurrection and life, and anyone who believes in me, even though they die, they will live. And I'm looking at Moses and Elijah. These are the men that were there before. These disciples. And here they are with Jesus. Now you think about people have in their minds and you're like, am I going to be in a waiting place when I die? Or am I going to go straight to heaven? These are a few things for you to think of. I won't give you an answer. But to me, it speaks to me that if Jesus is alive and he told this guy on his side, I don't know if he's left or right, and he said, today you will be in paradise with me, what does that mean to you? And if he says that, in my father's house there's so many rooms, if it wasn't so, I could not have told you, but now I'm telling you, I'm going to go and prepare the place for you. When I'm done, I will come back and take you where I am, you will be also. We have our moments of being on earth, worshiping and believing God, Jesus who's alive, who died and rose again. And just this took me so much into the season of Easter. He has been raised from the dead. He is alive, and everyone who believes in him will not die, but will live. Which takes me, as I'm ending, when Ken died, Dan told me, I was with my dad, and he didn't want to spoil a conversation I was having with my dad. He kind of waited, because he got a call from mom. I was like, mom should be sleeping this time. Why would she call this time? It should be midnight or somewhere. And actually, he was informing Dan that Ken has passed away. And Dan didn't want to explain spoil our conversation with my dad, so he first let us talk, and I was happy, and I was telling my dad about my dreams and stuff, and actually we were talking about Ken. And then after that, Dan comes and says, Ken passed away. And I was very, very disappointed. And I was in that kind of moment, and I didn't know what should I do. Like, I heard God was saying clearly, he's done his part. He has finished his rest. And now he's okay. He's with me. It took me a moment. You know, when you're a Christian, sometimes you go through something and you're like, oh, you forgot all the scriptures you have read. you kind of struggle and God reminds you those things. And I felt so much, I'm like, oh my goodness, he's done. I am the one now has to struggle in life and he's happy. You know, actually made me jealous that he's done and I'm still have so long way to try to go through this life with God and trying to please him and fall down and raise up. Anyways, I don't want to waste your time. But so we came back. And of course, it was so hard time to sit in Donnie's house and just looking across. There is no cane, and I could not eat supper. Don can tell you that. I didn't eat anything. I was just crying whole time. After like 4 days, I can't remember, I got a dream that I was with my brother and friends went camping somewhere. And all of a sudden, I have walked with the kids to go. Just they were playing and the parents as they're hanging out. I chose to go with kids. And all of a sudden I saw clouds and it's like, you know, like rainbows and those colors. And I'm like, what's happening to the sky? And I remember seeing Kenny's face through the rainbow colors. And Dan was in the house. They were just with Frank, our friend who lives in Uganda. And I just really, I looked, I was like, oh my goodness, that's Ken. But I could see only the face of Ken. And with his eyes like the sun, and he was just in glory that I cannot explain. The lights of coming from his face, I could not explain. And so I said, there is Ken in the cloud, there is Ken. His face is shining. And I look in my pocket and I just want to take a picture in the dream. And then Frank said to me, he said, oh, don't worry, I took a picture of him. Yeah, you can show it to Dan. I woke up from the dream, I was like, oh, it's not even a picture. I can't even see the picture. It's so disappointing when you think you have done something and you woke up, it was a dream. And right there, I remembered where it says that anyone who believes in me, even when they die, they will live. For me, I do not believe that there is where you're going to rot in the soil and you have to wait for the judgment day. Just, I go through that where it says that tonight you'll be in paradise with me. That's why I look at Moses. Why was Moses in this cloud? I mean, in this talking to Jesus. Why was Elijah there? I want to be with my Father one day. But I just have to stick on believing in Jesus and knowing that is the life and resurrection in this story. God bless you.
Well, thanks, Judith and Mom, for sharing. I'll just share a few points from the one pastor's message yesterday. We were at Forest Grove Church and for this assembly, and the theme was to lift high the name of Jesus. And so the pastor of Forest Grove, whose name is Matt, somebody, I forget his last name, but anyways, he just gave a brief talk at the start of the meeting, and I'll read a few points that I had jotted down. Look up, lift your gaze, find life by looking at Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Are we as churches lifting up the name of Jesus? And he talked about the story with the Israelites in the Old Testament when they were grumbling and complaining and God sent venomous snakes among them and many people were bitten and died from these snakes. And so the people prayed and talked to Moses. They wanted God to take away the snakes, and God told Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on this pole, and then anybody who's bitten can look at this snake, and they will be saved. It's kind of a strange story, but he said, the point he made, God didn't take the snakes away like the Israelites wanted, but instead he provided a remedy. That was the bronze snake, so the people could look up and live. The symbol of their suffering also became the symbol of their healing. And to us, the cross is both death and life. It represents death, but also life in Jesus. So we invite people to look up and believe. Is that our strategy, or are we distracted? We talked about distractions in Sunday school. And it's very easy for us to become distracted. But unless people look up, they will be lost forever. And that's kind of a harsh reality, but that's how it is, and it's something that we need to keep in mind, that time is short, and are we encouraging people to look up and live? Did anybody else have something they wanted to share? Don't want to cut you off.